Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence, the podcast that takes you on a journey through the dynamic world of global Greeks in the realms of technology, cutting-edge scientific and engineering innovation, entrepreneurship and business, also special topics on politics and history. I'm your hostess, Panayotis Pimenidou, and I'm thrilled to have you join us once again. If you want to stay updated and never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe, like, and review the Global Greek Influence podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and more. Your support means the world to me. For even more engagement, be sure to follow our podcast's Twitter account, Facebook page, and LinkedIn page. It is the best way to stay up to date with the latest episodes, connect with me directly, and even suggest topics you would love to explore. But wait, there is more. For just €2.99 a month, you can unlock a world of exclusive content. By becoming a premium subscriber, you will gain access to exclusive video episodes available only on Spotify, get sneak peeks of upcoming interviews, and enjoy special episodes that dive deep into fascinating topics. So get ready to immerse yourself in the captivating stories and influential figures that have shaped the global Greek influence and impact the world today. Join us on this exciting journey of discovery and celebration. Thank you for being part of the Global Greek Influence community. Today, I'm with Kostas Andriopoulos, an academic and an author known for his work in the field of innovation and entrepreneurship. He is a professor of innovation and entrepreneurship and the associate dean for entrepreneurship at Bayes Business School of City, University of London. Kostas Andriopoulos has written a book called Purposeful Curiosity: How Asking the Right Questions Will Change Your Life. In this book, he provides essential lessons on how to harness curiosity to empower oneself on any journey. As a professor, Kostas Andriopoulos leads courses in MSc, MBA, and executive education programs, encouraging learners to find solutions to big problems and embark on journeys into the unknown by starting new ventures or developing new products in large organizations. Additionally, he has launched Bayes X, a research center for innovation and disruption, which focuses on innovation and is one of the leading scholarly centers in this field. You will also find Kostas Andriopoulos on social media platforms such as LinkedIn, where he shares insights and engages in conversations, emphasizing his commitment to fostering curiosity and empowering individuals on their own journeys. Welcome to the show, Kostas.
Thank you very much for having me, Yota. I appreciate your time, and it's lovely to spend the hour with you today.
Thank you so much, Kostas. Successful entrepreneurship encompasses the creation, development, and management of a business venture that achieves its goals and objectives while making a positive impact on stakeholders. While there isn't a one-size-fits-all definition, several key elements are commonly associated with successful entrepreneurship: innovation, value creation, adaptability, risk management, vision, and leadership, financial sustainability, social and environmental responsibility, customer satisfaction, continuous learning, legacy building. How do you define successful entrepreneurship?
For me, the entrepreneurship is related to the owner and the founder and to the entrepreneur. And the entrepreneur for me is somebody who creates things. So he or she or they are creators. So for me, this is the quality or the ability that we're always looking for if we're investing in an entrepreneur. Or when I'm teaching, I say to my students, you have to create something. You have to hold your own intellectual property, your own IP. I think it's important that we have to link entrepreneurship and the entrepreneur with the creation aspect, creativity and innovation. So I think these things go together. And of course, an entrepreneur is somebody who is always looking in terms of the future. They're always asking questions. So what is coming next? What will the consumers want next? What will the clients will like next if they are busy business to business companies? So they're always thinking about the next element. And they're always preparing for the next element. So for me, entrepreneurship is about asking. It's about, for instance, creating. And it's about taking risk, but calculated risks. Because there is something that we always associate entrepreneurship with, which is like bungee jumping. It's never a bungee jumping. You always have to see what the risks are ahead of you, and you have to mitigate those risks. You have to prepare for those risks. So Entrepreneurship is also about Excel files. You know, what I will do if X happens? What will I do if Y happens? So there's all these kind of conditions that entrepreneurs have to look in terms of addressing those points, mitigating those risks in order for them to go forward. And the last thing that I wanted to add is that entrepreneurship is a team sport. So we rarely see nowadays solo entrepreneurs. And what we see is teams of founders trying to develop interesting products or services. So I think it's important to realize is that it's the team, because the entrepreneurship that we are talking about, which is closely linked to innovation, has to do with combining technical, for instance, acumen with business knowledge. So you require people who know how the technology develops, emerges, and this has to be complemented by people who know how to sell, how to promote, how to create brands, how to talk louder than everybody else about that particular product or technology or service that the technical person or the visionary or the scientist or the engineer is developing.
PaesX is a leading research center for disruptive innovation, with a goal to become a global leader in innovation education and research. Serving as a dynamic hub for disruptors, it collaborates closely with research fellows and actively engages with a community across startups, corporate, and public sectors. The center's primary objectives include acting as an industry forum for translating academic research into practical applications and developing education offerings such as executive education to train the next generation of innovative leaders. PaesX focuses on exploring challenging research problems, innovation, generating new thinking through cutting-edge research, and contributing to community outreach initiatives. What are the key characteristics of successful entrepreneurs, and how can aspiring entrepreneurs cultivate them?
Yeah. So again, if we're talking about PaesX and we are talking about disruption and radical innovation, so we're not talking about incremental. So I take something and I make it, for instance, more beautiful, lighter, less expensive, but I'm developing the future, for instance, of that particular industry. A good example is Apple. Apple was known for the computers, and then they moved, for instance, to the App Store and music and movies. It's why you are already targeting your current markets with current products, which means that entrepreneurship and what innovation and PaesX are about is how you can balance those two things. Cater for the current market with current products while you are developing new products for new markets. So I think it's important to realize it's like balance. And if we want to develop those kinds of people, then what we have to do is, again, we have to train them, or we need to have a conversation of how they can balance those things. Because if it's about, for instance, current markets with current products, we're talking about exploitation. We're talking about efficiencies. We're talking about not taking risks. And we're talking about creating more value in terms of revenues. But if we're talking about, for instance, the future, which is what PaesX focuses more, then it's about taking risks. And it's about investing in things that are uncertain. And it's about imagining. And it's about creating. So it requires a little bit of ambidextrous individual, somebody who can do both. So ambidexterity is that we can write with both hands. We use it, metaphorically speaking, to actually say that, how can I satisfy my customers today while I'm building the future for them? And it requires a different mindset. So at PaesX, what we're doing is that we're creating events, we're creating some programs where we teach large corporates in terms of executives and managers and, of course, entrepreneurs how to think about the future. So last year, we have an event which was about low Earth orbit space. And of course, I'm not talking about migrating to Mars. I leave this to other players. We're talking about lower orbit. So how we can use that space. And that space has a lot of satellites. And we brought a couple of people who are from satellites, the chief strategy officer in terms of the space. And then we brought somebody who was coming from the startup world. And it was an amazing company, because what they thought the big problem is, and I loved it, was they had to expand the life cycle of satellites. So satellites need, for instance, power in order to continue moving. So they're developing the petrol stations for satellites in lower orbit. I know that it's absurd. I know that it sounds crazy. But if we can extend the life, this can save us a lot of trouble and a lot of money. And the amount of rubbish that exists in lower orbit is unbelievable. We have a lot of satellites which are decommissioned because they run out of fuel, in quotes. So there are all these interesting problems that entrepreneurs can focus on. That's why I'm always saying we have to be curious, but curious with a particular intention, which means that I'm curious about solving the problem of satellites, and I need to start researching, and I need to find out more information about this. So what are the problems? What have been the solutions? Why these problems have not been resolved? Why some solutions have been suboptimal? What can we do in terms of optimizing the solutions? So there are a lot of questions that we have to ask, and entrepreneurs are very good in asking questions and are very good in getting those answers, because asking a question is a skill. So a lot of times, let me open a parenthesis, a lot of times we are saying, are there stupid questions? I don't want to sound provocative, but there are good questions and bad questions or mediocre questions. So I'm often asked, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite book? This is a good to bad question, right? Because in order for me to respond to that question, I need to think for a long period of time, because I have a lot of favorite movies. I have a lot of favorite books, as I'm sure all of you have. And the problem is that it takes a lot of time. Now, another question, which is 10 times better than the previous question, is what is the book that you have gifted the most? Okay, now it changes, because I remember, because this is an event that is not as big and it doesn't require me to think for a long period of time. I remember the book that I gifted to friends, family. So I can easily tell you, this is the one. So when we are talking about questioning, and there are a lot of books that have inspired me, or I don't know, offered me comfort or excited me in different phases of my life. So you always want to give this to other people. It's about learning how to ask for things. And I think it requires some thinking. I always recommend for people to spend more time on the questioning rather than going ahead and figuring out throughout the process. Because if the question is good, it's going to improve substantially the insights that you will be collecting. So I think it's important for us to spend time in terms of questioning. So the other thing that I'm always saying, all of us visit places, so we stay in hotels either for pleasure or for business. When we check out, you know, the person in the reception, they're saying, how was your stay? Right? Again, not a great question, if I'm honest with you, because what are you going to say? Some people are very shy. Sometimes it's a cultural thing. So they may say, yeah, it was okay. And maybe the service was awful, for instance. I don't know. The bar in the room was, a mini bar was awful, but a lot of people are not saying. But if we ask a different question, which means, What can we do in terms of improving our service? Then immediately you acknowledge the fact that there are things that you can improve, and you make the question very narrow. So what can we do? So I think pushing people to take action and then narrowing down the question can lead you to better insights.
In our exploration of innovation and its multifaceted impact on business, we have dissected a spectrum of critical questions ranging from the emergence of new technologies and their economic implications to the strategies employed by high-velocity market companies. We have probed into maintaining a culture of relentless innovation within corporations, unlocking breakthrough innovations in family businesses, and deciphering the transformative power of fintech. Now, against this backdrop of diverse inquiries, we delve into the interconnected realm of purposeful curiosity and innovation in business. This question seeks to understand the role of purposeful curiosity as a driving force behind innovation, addressing its impact on organizational practices, digital transformation, and the adoption of breakthrough technologies. How does purposeful curiosity drive innovation in business?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, it's about figuring out what the new technologies and how we can use the new technologies to enable what we're doing. So for instance, one of the biggest technologies or revolutions that we're experiencing is AI. And AI is going to change everything. When I'm saying everything, how we shop, how we educate people, how we consume content, it's going to be a game changer. A lot of people are afraid of new technologies. What I'm always saying is fear, phobias will not help you. We have, and this is what I'm always saying, curiosity actually addresses the fear. Because the more you read something, the more you realize how you can use it for your own benefit. So AI, there have been ChatGPT from OpenAI, and a lot of people are using it in terms of answering emails, in terms of finding information, in terms of figuring out, for instance, new ideas if they're working in consulting. I don't believe that machines will replace us. I believe that people who know how to use AI will replace us. So it's a combination between humans and AI. Now, if I am a company, I have to figure out how this technology can help me. How can I become more efficient? How can I become, how can it help me to produce goods which consumers want in very competitive prices? So there are loads of things that we can do by becoming curious about these technologies. The only thing that will not help us is to be afraid. Whenever I'm afraid of something, because I'm a normal human being like all of you, right? Instead of me continue to be afraid, I say, why am I afraid of something? Let me actually delve deeper. Let me become a little bit more curious about this. And the more I read about something, I find something interesting. So whenever you have a new technology, it starts by saying, oh, this is, people demonize. People are saying, this is coming, it's going to replace us. I'm taking a very different view. I'm saying, what can we learn? How can we use it? And the more you read about this, and the more you talk to people, you realize that it can work for you. So I think a lot of companies have to encourage their employees or senior management teams or leaders to read more about this stuff, to talk to people who are experts and try to figure out how they can help them. I think it's important for people to talk. As I'm saying in the book, that you have to develop your own curriculum. And when I'm saying your own curriculum about something which is coming, like AI, for instance, I'm not necessarily talking about joining a university or joining a program. So I'm not trying to sell programs in our conversation today. There is so much information out there, which is free on YouTube, for instance, on Instagram, on TikTok, on websites, on platforms, that can help us to see what the future will be. But it requires from us to be curious about this. If you go back in time, in terms of curiosity, all of us are born curious. All of us are born creative. But something is happening. So there is an article that says that a four-year-old daughter asked their mother in the UK around 300 questions per day. Now, if you look at other studies, they say that an adult asks 20 questions per day. In my view, in a good day, right? So the inquisitiveness, the questioning actually drops. Why? School, for instance. There are other studies that say that a teacher, on average, asks around 300 questions per day. So kids get conditioned to answer rather than question. Then they go to university in large cohorts, in large lecture rooms, where sometimes it's very difficult to ask questions. So we have to go back to this questioning attitude. And I think companies can benefit by this.
Well, definitely in engineering, you cannot not avoid questioning. You have to do that. And then at the same time, curiosity might cause the feeling of fear, but it also requires commitment. So one to engage in self-learning means that they have to become accountable. Whereas if they pay to follow a curriculum from an institution like a university, they feel, because they have invested in it financially, they are accountable and that they have to complete it. Even though curiosity is for free, it might also require some form of accountability, because asking questions to ourselves requires ourselves to find answers.
And you're absolutely right. And to add something here, as we're growing older and in an industry, in a relationship, we ask less questions. We trust people more. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm saying this in a nice way, in a productive way. But this doesn't help much. So a lot of times, for instance, I have people in my team who are saying, okay, let's see how we can use AI. If I'm not engaging with these people, then most probably this intention that they have, this passion that they have, will eventually or gradually die, right? But I take a different view. I say to them, tell me more about it, right? Because, and this applies to relationships. You know, somebody may come back from work and they'll say, they can tell you, oh, I had a dreadful day today. Now, if you say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that you had a dreadful day. Let's have dinner, for instance. Then you don't engage. But if you say, tell me more about your day. So what happened? Then you continue having, for instance, a conversation. And for me, curiosity, it's about a conversation. It's about showing interest. It's about being open-minded. There is no way that somebody can be curious and arrogant at the same time. Because the moment that you are curious, the moment that you have questions, you are acknowledging ignorance. You are acknowledging that, you know, I need to learn something. So there is curiosity goes hand in hand with humility, right? So as I was saying earlier, maybe I'm not an expert in AI, and in reality I'm not. So if a colleague of mine is, then I'm going to say, tell me more about this. So how can we use this? So I think it's important to continue this. Of course, as we are growing older, as I was saying, the questioning thing becomes a little bit more difficult. I don't know. There's something in my DNA, and I'm growing older, and I'm asking more questions. So a lot of my colleagues and a lot of my friends find me annoying. And I love when they say that I'm annoying, because I think I'm annoying for the right reasons, right? So we have to ask questions.
Reading through your book, Purposeful Curiosity, How Asking the Right Questions Will Change Your Life, I cannot stop wondering, after we embrace and practice our curiosity, why is it so hard others to follow our curiosity? What are some practical ways to foster curiosity within an organization?
Yes, that's a great question. I think there are a couple of things that companies can do. First of all, as I was saying earlier, they have to role model question. So leaders, senior managers in meetings, they need to bring back the questioning attitude. A lot of times, questioning or being inquisitive comes with a stigma. And what is the stigma? Lack of trust. So why are you asking that question? Don't you trust me or don't you trust us? And this is completely wrong, because a lot of times people ask questions because they want to be creative. People ask questions because they want clarifications. They don't get something. So the first thing is that culturally in an organization, we have to bring back this inquisitiveness, so that questioning is good. Questioning is not bad. However, the questions have to be followed up by actions. You cannot only ask. You need to find some insights, and then you have to enact upon those insights. So it has to be a culture. Let me start with this, which is about questioning, but it's also about execution. So when I'm saying about purposeful curiosity, it's curiosity with a purpose, right? Because there is another thing. The opposite is frivolous curiosity. So it's a night, I can't sleep, so I'm on my mobile, I scroll, you know, on Instagram, what happens here, what happens there, and then nothing happens. So all this curiosity that I have is wasted, never goes somewhere. So that's why I started researching this. I'm saying, how is this some people or some teams or some organizations that can enact upon their curiosity? What makes them different? And the difference is that, first of all, they have it, which means that they ask each other questions, and then they collect these insights, and then they turn those insights into something which is maybe a product, which may be a change in the process, or it may be a service. So it's like a process that starts with a question, insights, and I'm developing something. So in order to do this, it has to become a cultural thing. Everybody has to do this. Right. So I think this is an important thing. The other thing which is extremely important is to develop people. So to give them incentives to, for instance, search for information. A lot of times, because I work with companies that are developing and are research companies which are developing new products, and these companies were based in Silicon Valley. A lot of times people who are designing products, they are not only focusing on, you know, the companies, products who hire them to design these products or to their competitors, they also say go beyond. So one of the things which was interesting is that they often visit toy stores, especially if you're designing a product. Why? Because the technology in a lot of toys is advanced. And the other thing is that toy manufacturers, in terms of addressing a particular segment, which is parents and kids, have to make these products cheap. So there are a lot of things that you can learn by doing such a thing. First of all, advanced technology. Secondly, is cheaper than what other industries are doing. Again, it's about encouraging people to move beyond, for instance, their immediate surroundings and place themselves to some environments in terms of figuring out how these things are done in a new environment. I think it's important to encourage this. Libraries in companies are important. I mean, I have been to companies because I'm a researcher that spends a lot of time in companies. I'm interviewing people, I'm observing people. There are some companies that have some amazing libraries, which are books, you know, from in terms of creativity, in terms of design, in terms of innovation, in terms of history, architecture, it's everything. So a lot of times what we're saying is let's bring, for instance, books which are about our industry. Not necessarily. I think we have, again, to move beyond, because a mind is looking for information. And sometimes when we move beyond and we're curious about how things work in another industry and we learn something, we can bring this back to what we are doing. So a lot of times it's about moving ourselves to a new environment. All these kind of things have to be encouraged in an organization.
Can we measure curiosity? And if so, how?
That's a question that I haven't found an answer yet. But I'm curious about this kind of question. But as I was saying earlier, if it's about an organization, I would say, for instance, the culture, whether it's a culture which is about curiosity. Netflix, one of their values is curiosity, right? I will check the values. I will check their offices. Do they allow for unplanned meetings between or among functions or units? As I was saying earlier, are they going beyond, for instance, their industry? Do they have interactions with people, teams, or organizations which are in other industries? So there are a couple of things that I would look for in terms of figuring out whether they are curious. And which department are curious? And do you want all these departments to be curious? So there is the other thing. Do you want your accounting departments to be curious? Maybe yes, maybe no. I think it depends on the industry. And of course, it depends on the function. That's a great question. Thinking about this from the top of my head, these are the points that I can actually contribute. But this is something that to be continuing in terms of me spending more time on this and figuring out more.
The success of entrepreneurial ventures is multifaceted and can be measured through various factors: financial performance, innovation, market share, customer satisfaction, adaptability, team effectiveness, social impact, strategic partnerships, brand recognition, scalability, risk management, long-term vision, employee satisfaction, cultural fit, exit strategy. What role does mindset play in the success of entrepreneurial ventures?
It's super critical. And again, it's about growing. Because as the organization, the startup grows, people are growing with the organization. So I'm a big believer that we need to have a growth mindset, which means that we always have to update, we always have to learn, we always have to revise our assumptions. This is important. And I believe that the good entrepreneurs are the ones who are always learning, growing, adjusting, and revising. They're not stuck in the past. They are thinking about the future. And why am I saying this? Because I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs who get obsessed with the solution, who get obsessed with the product. And this is not necessarily healthy. You have to get obsessed with what is coming next, with the questions rather than your solution. Because as with everything else in life, most of the times things have a shelf life. When you go to the supermarket, you open, for instance, the fridge, you check the milk and it says, you know, expiry date. Most of the times the ideas are the same or the products are the same. So entrepreneurs always have to think about the next version, version 2, version 3, version 4, new products. Amazon, for instance, they started selling only books. Now they sell everything. They have web services as well, Amazon Web Services. So the company is growing in terms of iterations, what they do, but also in terms of the product portfolio that they have. So for me, everything that you said is great and the mindset is great, but it's more about not getting obsessed, not getting, for instance, addicted with your solution, but getting obsessed with what is coming next and new questions.
While there isn't a standard entrepreneurial journey, curiosity and risk scare investors who prefer incremental to groundbreaking innovation. You are a strong believer that without risks and the discomfort of newness that curiosity enables, there cannot be creative and intellectual breakthroughs. How do you view the relationship between innovation and risk-taking?
They go together. It's like the same. You have to take a risk because when we are innovating, is that we're always creating something which is novel and useful to somebody, in theory. That's the definition, right? So we have to create something which is novel or commercialize or execute something which is novel and useful. Now, a lot of times it may be the wrong timing. A lot of times, for instance, the consumers are not ready or they're not well educated. So it's not always that the product or the service doesn't work. Maybe sometimes, you know, the timing is wrong. There are risks that we have to take. That's why I'm not a big believer in taking one big risk. I'm a big believer in taking smaller risks. I'm a big believer in terms of having smaller experiments. See, so for instance, start 3 or 4 experiments in your organization, small. You know, whatever you can afford in terms of investing, in terms of time, and in terms of money. Then see how they go. Talk to your clients, talk to your customers, get their feedback. See whether your ideas have legs. If they do have, if you see that there is an interest, invest a little bit more. If they adopt it and they start liking it, invest a little bit more. So for me, this is a process that will not take you to bankruptcy, because a lot of times companies that went bust are the companies that, you know, that haven't innovated maybe for years. And at one point they say, oh my God, you know, there is a new wave or things are changing and we need to come up with a big innovation. This is what they say in quotes. And then they risk everything. And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it does work. So they are heroes or heroines, but sometimes it doesn't work. And everything goes bust. So if we're about conscious innovation, then we're talking about small experiments, seeing how they go, and then invest more time if you see that there is appeal to a particular market.
Leaders and young researchers in technology, science, and engineering have innate curiosity, which acts as a driving force behind their innovative solutions. Their expertise, vision, and passion for pushing the boundaries of knowledge contribute to the creation of groundbreaking solutions and novel products. Whether it's pioneering advancements in artificial intelligence, biotechnology, or sustainable engineering, these individuals play a crucial role in shaping the landscape of innovation. As both leaders and emerging talents collaborate, they bring fresh perspectives and transformative ideas that have the potential to redefine industries and positively impact society. How can the trailblazers in technology, science, and engineering leverage their curiosity-driven journeys to navigate the exciting path towards entrepreneurship?
Great question again. If it's about exploration, again, has an element of risk because you are going through a path that others haven't taken before. And it requires, again, a particular mindset. So people who are starting their journey, they need to have the courage and they need to have a conviction to see whether this journey will take them where they aspire to go. So I think it's important to realize that curiosity comes with taking some risks. Curiosity comes with going where other people have not gone before. But curiosity is also about preparing. So when I talk, for instance, to space explorers or polar explorers, when you send a rocket to low orbit, or when you are trying to go to a journey that killed everybody before that they have tried this, then it requires preparation. I think a lot of times we forget about preparation. So what we're saying is that I have a great idea, for instance, whether I'm a scientist or an engineer, and then they dive into commercializing this. It's not as easy. It requires preparation. So you need to find people who have done this in the past to inspire you, coach you, mentor you, show you how this has done. So that's the first thing. And I'm not talking about teams. I'm talking about the extended team, right? The other thing is that you have to do some research. Have other people tried this in the past? If they did, why did it fail? What can I do differently? Because it's like history. If you don't know history, you are going to repeat the same mistakes. The same thing applies here. So again, you have to see what worked, what didn't work, and what you're going to do differently. So I think this is extremely important. And then the other thing is you have to, in a way, test some things in the lab, as we say, not always in the real world. Again, in academic terms, I know that you have a PhD, so you know this. So it's not something new for you. But when we're trying something, we're trying this in a smaller scale. It's like a pilot study to see what works, what doesn't work in a very small, constrained way, and then learn from it. And then, as I was saying earlier, take it, you know, bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. So for people who like to do those kinds of journeys, they need to prepare and they need to have patience. And patience is a virtue, as they say. And in some cases, it's advisable. So when I was talking to people who are polar explorers, it may take them years to strategize, to execute something. I don't think it's easy to do those kinds of things. And I don't think that these things can be done in a very instant fashion. And I know that most of us would like to turn things very quickly nowadays, but for some things, it requires more time. So to answer your question, it's important to do research, it's important to prepare, and it's important to bring people who are relevant, have done this in the past, and they're willing to share their expertise with us.
One last question, Costa. Curiosity and passion often serve as the catalyst for the birth of innovative projects. The inherent drive to explore the unknown, coupled with a deep enthusiasm for a particular subject or challenge, drives individuals toward groundbreaking ideas. This dynamic combination of curiosity and passion fuels the creative process, leading to the conception and realization of projects that have the potential to transform industries and drive positive change in society. What is your take on the dynamic relationship between curiosity, passion, and the birth of innovative projects?
A lot of the people who I talked to when I was writing the book, and the book is based on 60 interviews that I have done. I have been collecting that data set for 5 years. And what is common there is that when you find something which is personal to you, that you are emotionally connected to, the distractions disappear. So the moment that we align, so the moment that we find the big itch, right? Because we're talking about the itch. I have an itch and I have to scratch it. But there are loads of itches that people have. But the moment that you identify the itch that it makes a difference to your life, that you're passionate about, everything else disappears. I'm going to share an example. So when I started being curious about curiosity, I'm a normal human being, I think, like everybody else, everything disappeared. So I used to spend more time on social media. I wasn't spending time on social media. I used to read things which were not relevant. I stopped doing those kind of things. So I was talking to people in terms of, tell me more about how you do things. And I was reading about those kind of things. So everything disappeared because I was on a mission. So when we're talking about passion, when we're talking about purpose, in a way, we're putting ourselves into a mission. So can I develop a mission? Can I learn more about this? Who are the people who have done this? How can they help me? So you're always thinking about this. Interestingly, when I submitted the manuscript to my publisher, all these distractions came back, right? So I was going to my Instagram. I was going to other things. And I was saying, oh my God, you know, I need to find a new itch to scratch. So passion is extremely important. That's the first thing. The second thing is that things don't work out sometimes. You hit walls. And if you're not passionate, if you're not personally attached to or emotionally attached to something, you will never progress. You will never continue. So I think it's important. So I had walls when I was writing, when I was researching, but it kept me going. What kept me going? That I was so passionate about this. And the same thing is it's what my interviewees told me while I was having conversations with them. If you are passionate about something, it will keep you going, because 100% you will hit a wall. There is no way that you won't hit a wall, right? There is no way that all the other experiments will work out. And that's an interesting thing. I got some people who were telling me, if something doesn't work out, then I become more curious. So in a way, things that don't work out, I don't want to say failure, things that don't work out make us more curious. Things that do work out don't make us curious. It's crazy, but this is the reality. So if we're successful, then you know what we say, well done. And we carry on. But if we hit the wall, then we say, oh my God, I mean, this thing didn't work. Why didn't it work? And then we're becoming more absorbed by this. And then we spend more time about this. So I definitely feel that purpose is important. Passion is important. But again, we have to look inside ourselves and we have to figure out what makes us tick. I have lots of features. I like design. I like architecture. I like music. I like movies. I like filmmaking. So I have told all these kind of things. But the thing that stood out for me was curiosity. I said, this is the thing that I love doing.
As we conclude the Exploring the Path of Innovation Entrepreneurship episode of the Global Greek Influence podcast, I would like to thank you, Costa, for sharing your remarkable insights and experiences and your view on curiosity, innovation, and entrepreneurship.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure, you know, talking to you. You have some amazing questions and well done to you. And I don't know, the time actually flew. You know, I immersed, which means I lost track of time and place. Talking to you. I hope that, you know, everybody enjoys this as I did today. Thank you.
Thank you, Costa, once again. And a special thank you to our incredible audience for joining us on this exploration of innovative technology, science, and engineering research during this podcast lifetime. And of course, in today's episode on the transformative power of purposeful curiosity. Remember, curiosity and passion are not just topics of discussion, they are the very fuel that propels groundbreaking ideas and innovative projects. Curiosity is at the core of research in technology, science, and engineering. Continuing to ask the right questions, fostering curiosity within yourselves and your organizations, and embracing the discomfort of newness on your professional journeys is essential to innovation. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking conversations on the Global Greek Influence podcast. Until then, keep innovating, stay curious, and make a positive impact on the world. Thank you for being part of this amazing journey. Thank you all for staying until the end. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review to show your support and spread the podcast message far and wide. Thank you for being part of the Global Greek Influence podcast family. Stay tuned and keep exploring the world of podcasts with the Global Greek Influence.